You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. Welcome to Dolphins Talk Weekly, your one-stop audio breakdown of all of this week's Miami Dolphins news. Now, here is your host, Kevin Durr.
Good evening, Dolphins, and welcome to episode 17 of Dolphins Talk Weekly. I'm your host, Kevin Dern. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinMD4, and you can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcast. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for all of the feedback from the Draft Fits episode last week. I appreciate all of the listeners and all of the comments I got about that episode. Now, we're going to change it up a little bit for this week's show. If you remember, at the end of last week's episode, I talked a little bit about how Miami has built up a deep, talented roster and was looking at into ways that they need to catch the Buffalo Bills. Let's face facts. Miami is 0-4 against the Bills since Brian Flores has taken over as head coach. Two of those games were not particularly close. You know, Buffalo is still ahead of Miami as far as I'm concerned. And I wanted to kind of talk about that on this week's episode, and when I started doing some research, I ended up diving down into a couple of different rabbit holes that sort of inspired an article, and kind of this topic deserves much more consideration, I think, from myself and other Dolphins. So because of that, I'm going to table that podcast to coincide with an article I'm working on over the next couple weeks. So with that in mind, I wanted to touch on something else that we talked about in last week's episode. We're going to cover some of the brief news updates we've had over the past week, and then I'm going to kind of dive into the roster, and we're going to build a way too early 53-man roster, position by position, and then we'll talk about some of the candidates I would like to see on the practice squad. But first, before we get into that, word from our sponsor, Manscaped.com. Guys, it's mowing season out there. The summer's here. The cicadas have invaded southeastern Indiana. Things are a little bit crazy. And if you want to keep things from getting a little bit too crazy in your own backyard, so to speak, Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DolphinsTalk. That's DolphinsTalk, all one word, and receive up to 20% off of your order from Manscaped.com, and that includes free shipping. So that's Manscaped.com, the promo code DolphinsTalk, all one word, and you can get up to 20% off of your order, including free shipping. Manscaped.com, thank you for your support. So, let's dive into some of the draft news that we've had, in post-draft times. We've had a couple of draft picks sign contracts. First-round pick Jalen Waddle has signed. Running back Jared Doakes has signed. Larnell Coleman has signed. And now with the new CBA, those things seem to be falling into place pretty quickly. Some other brief news tidbits that we got from the rookie minicamp that took place last weekend is we kind of learned that Jalen Phillips will be playing a little bit all over the place. They have him labeled as a linebacker, although, as we talked about on the podcast last year, they had labeled Shaq Lawson as a linebacker as well. Personally, I think it's more of an administrative thing just so he can wear number 15, and maybe he will do some linebacker stuff, but to me, he's far and away, you know, a defensive end, a pass rusher, edge player, and that's how they're going to use him. We also learned that Javon Holland is going to be used kind of in the same way that Devin McCourty was used in New England. Brian Flores had a couple quotes. You can read those on Travis Wingfield's draft recap article of Javon Holland, but essentially Javon Holland is going to be used as sort of a week-to-week matchup piece. Some weeks he'll be as the deep safety in the middle of the field, single high role that Bobby McCain played. Some weeks he'll be down in the box playing, you know, in a matchup against tight ends when Eric Rose matched up against someone else. Some weeks they may have him as a cloud guy over a speedy receiver on the outside. It allows guys like Byron Jones and Xavier Howard to take a little more chances underneath. Some weeks he may be asked to play directly in the slot, depending on the matchups that they have. So to me, that was pretty intriguing. We also heard that new signee Jason McCourty was going to be used as a safety starting off. He He played some snaps there last year for the Patriots. And to me, I think it makes sense just to give someone who has a good knowledge base of the defense the opportunity to go back there and quarterback it in the wake of them releasing Bobby McCain. And they go and quarterback it in terms of if Javon Holland isn't able to handle that role right off the bat. You still have a veteran piece who can do it. They also still have Jamal Perry on the roster, the 90-man roster, who did it last year in a couple of games when Bobby McCain went hurt, namely the Seattle game early in the season. So, we also had two signings happen last week. Miami signed offensive tackle Timone Paris from the Washington football team, and cornerback Trill Williams, who was claimed off waivers from New Orleans. Now, I won't pretend to have watched any Timone Paris because I haven't. Miami seems to like those long, lengthy tackles. I believe Timone Paris was 6'6", 315, so he fits right into that mold with Liam Eikenberg, with Austin Jackson, with Larnell Coleman, Jesse Davis. Makes sense. Probably a good developmental player to keep an eye on in the preseason. Trill Williams, the cornerback out of Syracuse, is a little more intriguing to me. Now, if you follow other Dolphins podcasts, you obviously would probably listen to Kyle Krabs, who does the Locked On Dolphins show now. He's also the director of scouting for the Draft Network. If you've ever played around with their mock draft simulators, I'm sure you're familiar with Kyle's work and his scouting reports and the great stuff that he and the team at the Draft Network do. And I was listening to Kyle's podcast last week, and he mentioned that Trill Williams was the Draft Network's only top 100 player that they graded that wasn't drafted. And he was originally going to sign with New Orleans, failed a physical, went through the process, and now he's here in Miami. Now, he did have an ankle injury last season that cut his time at Syracuse short, but he, just having watched a very limited number of his snaps, he seems to have the requisite height and length that Miami values in their outside corners. He has great ball skills. If you go back and watch some of Trillium's interviews, that's sort of how he got reps on the field early. In his freshman camp at Syracuse, during that camp, he had 10 interceptions, and the coaches just simply couldn't keep him off of the field because he had such good ball skills. So he's an intriguing pickup to look at as we head here into the OTA portion of the offseason. And with those additions in mind and kind of wanting to do some more research on how Miami can catch up to the Buffalo Bills, I wanted to talk about more in depth about the roster that Miami's put together and kind of go piece by piece, position by position, and see if we can't build a 53-man roster out of what we have now. Now, obviously, there's some caveats. We know Chris Greer loves to swing trades. Last year, they traded away Raekwon McMillan in training camp. They added Lynn Bowden in training camp. They added Adam Shaheen, I believe, either right before or right at the beginning of training camp. So, obviously, there could be names that are added between now and the first preseason game. But let's try and build the 53-man roster out of guys that we have right here, right now. And this is obviously is barring any injuries or anything like that. So I went through this and put it down on paper and kind of went group by group and was able to get a 53-man roster. Now, obviously, the rules were adjusted last year because of COVID. I believe the roster rules are adjusted again this year because of the extra game, the 17th regular season game that's added. So I was looking through it and wasn't able to find anything definitive whether or not they have 53 or 55 guys on the roster this year. I do know that the practice squad is going to be 12 guys. Last year it was expanded to 16 in the wake of COVID. This year it is supposed to be 12. So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, looking at the roster, I wanted to go through and put together my 53 guys that are there right now. And I figured let's start it off with the easy section, the specialists. There's really only four guys on the 90-man roster, and I think the three that are the obvious choices are Jason Sanders, just signed a big extension this offseason, was a first-team All-Pro last year, best kicker in the league. He's obviously a no-brainer. Blake Ferguson, the rookie long snapper, came in, and I don't think it's any coincidence that Jason Sanders missed fewer kicks this year, having Blake Ferguson as his snapper, than he did last year or 2 years ago with Tabor Pepper. In my opinion, Tabor Pepper was pretty inconsistent with his delivery, the timing of the snaps, and the locations, and that made things tougher all the way around for the operation. Blake Ferguson is about as consistent as you can get. You know, he basically reminds me of John Denny. You never hear his name, and for a long snapper, that's a good thing. He's a no-brainer. Michael Pilardi, the punter, comes in having played in Carolina. Miami did not choose to re-sign Matt Hawk. Now, looking at the numbers, Michael Pilardi's marginally better than Matt Hawk in net yardage and being accurate in terms of, you know, pinning opponents inside the 20-yard line, that type of thing. Where I wonder if we lose something, though, is Matt Hawk was pretty athletic as a punter, and Miami had built several key fakes. You remember 2019 with the Mountaineer shot play, where Matt Hawk threw the touchdown to Jason Sanders against the Eagles. He had a fake field goal conversion earlier that year against Buffalo on the road. Last year, they tried a couple of fake punts. I believe one was in the Kansas City game where he threw the pass to Kamu Grugier-Hill. That was called back. I think they had another fake either in that game or the New England game that was also called back because of a penalty. But Matt Hawk was pretty athletic for a punter and could do some different things. And, you know, I don't know that you get that out of Michael Pilardi. He's a left footer, which Miami seems to value. But if there's one situation I would keep an eye on around the league, if, in fact, you know, if Michael Pilardi does struggle in camp in the preseason, maybe keep an eye on what Cincinnati has. They have a longtime punter, Kevin Huber, who's been very good, very consistent over the years. But they had a very sneaky undrafted signing, getting the punter Drew Chrisman out of Ohio State, who might be a cheaper alternative for the Bengals. Now, both of those guys are right-footed, so I don't know if that, you know, precludes them from being signed by the Dolphins in any way, since they're not left-footed guys. But that's just one situation I would keep an eye on if Michael Pilardi struggles. And hopefully he doesn't, but I think it's an easy three guys based off the 90-man roster here. Sanders, Ferguson, and Pilardi, your kicker, your long snapper, and your punter, respectively. Now, so that's three guys down, so we've got 50 roster spots to play with. And I didn't really intend for it to come out this way, just kind of looking at the roster and trying to pick the best group. But I ended up getting 25 guys on offense and defense. Now, there's a list of tough cuts, guys that I had a hard time letting go of for reasons, you know, that varied from, you know, I like their developmental potential, they've been effective in the past, maybe they have contract, you know, I won't say issues, but contracts that are prohibitive to signing other players in season or making a trade if something were to happen. Now, let's go through the defense first. I ended up with four defensive ends, and, you know, there's kind of some fungibility between defensive ends and outside linebackers in this defense. But for our purposes, I'm going to define the defensive ends as guys that play with their hand in the dirt most often. I came up with four of them. Emmanuel Ogba, obviously the team leader in sacks from a year ago. Jalen Phillips, who we just drafted in the first round. Zach Sealer, I listed here, but you could probably also list him as a defensive tackle. But I think he's going to get an opportunity to play defensive end in more four-man fronts, at least right off the bat until they feel Jalen Phillips is ready to be a three-down contributor. I think Sealer and Andrew Van Ginkle were a really nice tandem on that right side and allowed Miami to play some overfronts and things that were a little bit different as the season wore on to kind of help them improve against the run. And then my fourth defensive end was Jason Strobridge, the rookie fifth-round pick from a year ago. I think he only played 47 snaps, but he made a number of plays in that 47 snaps. I think there's still, you know, room to develop him and get him to be part of the rotation. But he's going to have to fend off a slew of guys, including Jonathan Ledbetter, Nick Coe, Tyshawn Render. And, you know, his roster spot may not be as assured as a second-year draft pick should be. So interesting guy to watch there, but I think he'll end up making the team. Defensive tackle, I've got four of them listed. Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis, the obvious ones. Adam Butler, who came over from New England, I think he's going to be a key contributor, especially in one package, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And then they brought in John Jenkins, who was with the team in 2019, big nose tackle who had played with Chicago last season. And again, I think you could list Zach Sealer as a defensive tackle. So eight guys across the front. Ogba, Phillips, Sealer, and Strobridge at end. Wilkins, Davis, Butler, and Jenkins at D-tackle. At outside linebacker, and again, you know, there's some caveats here, I have four guys. Obviously, Andrew Van Ginkle played really well last year. They're going to increase his snaps this year. I think he's going to have that home as that edge rush linebacker on the defensive right side, so rushing against left tackles. I think he's got that position locked down. And one thing that Brian Flores kind of tipped off was about Benardrick McKinney and saying that he's going to be playing some on the line of scrimmage, some on the edge, some off the ball. To me, that's basically a way of saying he's going to have the first chance to fill at least some of Kyle Van Noy's role. So I've listed him as an outside linebacker here, although if you listed him at inside linebacker, you wouldn't have any argument from me. I think he's going to play both in this defense. So Van Ginkle, Benardrick McKinney, my two depth guys are Brennan Scarlett, who came over from Houston as well. A tremendous edge setter against the run and offers you some versatility on special teams. And then Vince Beagle, who's coming off that Achilles tear. Hard to find better depth than him if he comes back healthy at that position. Three inside linebackers on my roster right now, Jerome Baker, Elandon Roberts, and Duke Riley. Now, again, I think Benardrick McKinney will play plenty of off-ball linebacker reps, just like Kyle Van Noy did. So he's kind of got his foot in both positions here. And if Elandon Roberts starts the season on PUP or short-term IR, easy for me to say, I think Calvin Munson is probably the next guy just based on his being on the roster last year and being able to contribute on special teams. But for right now, let's assume Elandon Roberts is healthy enough to come back week one. The inside linebackers are him, Jerome Baker, and Duke Riley for me. At cornerback, the three obvious ones are Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, and Noah Igbinoghene. Now, if you check out some of the videos on YouTube about Igbinoghene and Xavien Howard working out, they both look like they're in great shape and move really, really well. Check that out if you can. Justin Coleman, who came over from Detroit, has experience in this defense, played with New England briefly under Brian Flores. And then I actually have Trill Williams being my fifth guy on the roster if he's healthy. I think he's got the height, the length, the ball skills that they look at. I think he's got enough versatility to be on special teams in a couple of different areas. So same with Justin Coleman, who was a tremendous gunner for Detroit on the punt team. So I've got those five making it. And then at safety, I have another five. Javon Holland, Eric Rowe, Jason McCourty, who Brian Flores said was going to work there, Brandon Jones, and Clayton Fedgelin. That gives me 25 on defense. So again, up front, the defensive line, Ogba, Phillips, Sealer, Strobridge, Wilkins, Davis, Butler, and Jenkins. Linebackers, Van Ginkle, McKinney, Beagle, Scarlett, Jerome Baker, Roberts, and Duke Riley. And then 10 defensive backs, Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, Noah Igbinoghene, Justin Coleman, Trill Williams at corner. And at safety, Javon Holland, Eric Rowe, Jason McCourty, Brandon Jones, and Clayton Fedgelin. Now, obviously, Nick Needham was kind of a tough cut there. Benito Jones, who was on the practice squad last year, you know, I know a lot of people have some high hopes for him to continue to develop. Those were the two tough cuts that I had on the defensive side. Offensively, I've got 25 guys. At quarterback, I think the obvious two are Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett. Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Savon Ahmed, and Jared Doakes at running back. Hard for me to cut Patrick Laird. I've loved what he's been able to bring to the team over the past 2 years. But now that you have basically two guys in Malcolm Brown and Jared Doakes that are third down backs that are bigger, more powerful, and still have good hands, and just as good, if not better, pass protectors, it's hard for me to carve out a role for Patrick Laird at this point. Receiver, the three obvious ones, and we talked about this last week on my sort of collection of votes from different journalists and scouts and people from around the NFL. The three obvious ones, Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle. I think Lynn Bowden makes it as well. They just traded a third round pick for him last year. He can contribute in a number of ways. I think Preston Williams still probably sticks unless they're able to maybe try and find a trade partner for him. And then I really liked what Robert Foster brought to the table on special teams. He also gives you an injection of speed on the offense while still having some size. So that means a couple of tough cuts there. Malcolm Perry, Albert Wilson, and Jakeem Grant, for me, were all tough cuts. I know a lot of people seem to like Kirk Merritt, and I just can't put my finger on it. I know he's got incredible workout numbers, but he wasn't even the leading receiver on his team at Arkansas State. He's more of a slot specialist. And now you have Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle, who can both work out of the slot. Lynn Bowden can work out of the slot. We've seen them line up Devontae Parker there in the past to create mismatches. I just don't see it, you know, for Kirk Merritt unless there's injuries. At tight end, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, Adam Shaheen, and Seathan Carter. Now, this one was a little bit interesting because I have Durham Smythe getting cut. You know, people don't realize it, but Durham Smythe, over the past 2 years combined, is the leading special teams tackler for the Miami Dolphins. You don't really think of a tight end as a special teams guy, but he was pretty good at it. But that is probably why they signed Seathan Carter, who can give you some versatility as a fullback or H-back, and is really good on special teams as well. Now, Mike Gesicki, he and Tua had a pretty nice run of chemistry down the end of the season. I would love to see that continue, especially now that you have more speed to kind of stretch the defense and let him operate in the seam and over the middle. Hunter Long from Boston College, I think, gives you enough as a true Y tight end who can find those short spots in the zone, has good hands, you know, can block a little bit, gives you the opportunity to replace Durham Smythe. And then Adam Shaheen signed an extension last year in the middle of the season, so he's going to be sticking around as well. I know there's been a couple of reports that he was a free agent. He is not. He signed an extension last year in season. So those are my four tight ends. I broke the offensive line down by position, so at tackle, I have Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg. I think those are your two starters. I have Jesse Davis as a swing tackle, and then I kept DJ Fluker as well because he can play both tackle spots and he's played right guard in the league. I think that's a valuable thing to have. I kept him over Larnell Coleman, who I would put on the practice squad. At guard, Solomon Kinley and Robert Hunt are my two starters. And I'm going to go with a bit of a curveball here and go with Robert Jones, the undrafted free agent Miami signed out of Middle Tennessee. You know, I think Michael Dieter has played well at times, but it's kind of that shit or get off the pot, you know, moment for him, I think. And unless he's going to blow people away at center, I don't see him making the team as a guard. And then at center, I have Matt Skura, who came over as a free agent from the Ravens. And then I went with another curveball in Cameron Tom, who came over on a futures deal from the New Orleans Saints. Tom had started 4 games for the Saints at left guard, but he was a center at Southern Miss in college. And I think he's got more developmental potential than Michael Dieter at this point. So I'm going to go with a bit of a dice roll there and go with Cameron Tom. So that gives me a roster on offense of 2 quarterbacks, Tagovailoa and Brissett, 4 running backs, Gaskin, Brown, Ahmed, and Doakes, 6 receivers, Parker, Fuller, Waddle, Bowden, Williams, and Foster, 4 tight ends, Gesicki, Long, Shaheen, and Carter, and then 9 offensive linemen, Austin Jackson, Liam Eichenberg, Jesse Davis, DJ Fluker, Solomon Kinley, Robert Hunt, Robert Jones, Matt Skura, and Cameron Tom. That gives me my 53 guys. Now, as far as a practice squad goes, I haven't researched all of the in-depth rules about who's eligible and what kind of exceptions they've made for COVID and all of that. So I ended up just picking 12 guys that I'd like to see them keep around on the practice squad just because of their contributions. Reed Sinnett, the developmental quarterback. You know, obviously he was called up a couple times last year when Tua was hurt and then when Ryan Fitzpatrick had COVID in week 17. Patrick Laird, if they're able to keep him on the practice squad, I'd love to have him back, but I would imagine if Miami does cut him, he's able to find another job on an active roster pretty quickly. Malcolm Perry, I'd love to have him come back around. And then Kai Loxley, the converted quarterback receiver, I think he's a bit of an interesting project. Jabri Blunt, the converted tight end. George Gottsied seems to have a tight end project every year. You know, Bryce Sterk was it last year, the converted defensive end. Jabri Blount, you know, college basketball player. Mel Blount's son gets the opportunity this year. Larnell Coleman, who we drafted in the seventh round. Derval Quiroz Neto, who I think also gets an international pathway program or whatever the IPP stands for. He gets a roster exemption to that. So I've got him on the practice squad again this year. And then on the defensive side, Tyshon Render, Benito Jones, Jaitlin Askew, Tino Ellis, Javaris Davis, and Nate Hawley. We know Miami likes to be defensive back heavy, so I want a little defensive back heavy myself there. So that is the roster. And again, we talk about having some of those tough cuts. You know, you're getting rid of talent like Patrick Laird, Malcolm Perry, Albert Wilson, Alan Hearns, Jakeem Grant, Durham Smythe, Michael Dieter, Nick Needham. These are all guys that have played, if not started, games for the Dolphins over the past 2 years. And now we've gotten to the roster to the point where you're potentially cutting several of them in order to get down to your 53-man roster. And, you know, one thing that was interesting is I caught the Bootleg podcast, which is Brett Coleman's podcast. They had Matt Bowen on last week. If you can, check out that episode. But they were talking about it, and both of them kind of agreed that if you look at Miami's roster top to bottom, they both said it's one of the top 3 to 5 rosters in the NFL. And really, the only real question mark you have is with Tua. How much does he develop from year one to year two? And obviously, he's been putting in work this offseason. Obviously, Brian Flores has given him a vote of confidence. I think Chris Greer did as well, you know, by getting him a guy like Jalen Waddle to operate with right off the bat in the draft. So to me, if Tua Tagovailoa takes a step forward this year and you can start to do more with him and with the offense as a whole, you have an opportunity to really kind of catch up to your defense from a year ago. And I think the additions they made to the defense are going to help in a lot of ways. One of those ways, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, was with Adam Butler. You look at him, the addition of Jalen Phillips in the draft, and the trade for Bernardrick McKinney. I think that allows Miami to create a very good third down package. Now, if you've watched YouTube or seen my Twitter feed, Coach Vass, who does the Make Defense Great Again podcast, has two absolutely phenomenal YouTube videos about the Patriots Odmac O package that they used in 2018 when Brian Flores was there. Miami ran this package a little bit last year, but didn't really get into the full scale of it. There's a lot you can do, and my good friend Travis Wingfield, who does the Drive Time podcast, I know he's got an episode that's going to detail this package in depth coming up sometime next week, so stay tuned for that. I would recommend highly that you watch the two videos on YouTube. The first one is about all of the different pressures and pass rush games. The second one is about the coverages that couple with those front games. But long story short, I think what Miami was lacking was the type of personnel that could really execute a lot of these things last year. Now you've got two defensive ends with Ogba and Phillips that can do it. You have Adam Butler, who was the exact same player the Patriots had at their nose positioned in the Odmac O when Brian Flores was there. And now you've got two linebackers that are well-versed in being crashers and loopers when you do some of these pass rush games, with Andrew Van Ginkel, who did a ton of it at Wisconsin, and Bernardrick McKinney, who did it with the Houston Texans under Romeo Crennel. You also have the ability to sprinkle in guys like Raekwon Davis at nose, Zach Sealer at nose or end, and Jerome Baker as one of the linebackers, and you can kind of fluctuate that stuff around. So I think Miami's third down defense continues to get even better. I think the addition of Bernardrick McKinney and Adam Butler and John Jenkins are all going to help them against the run. And they've obviously bolstered the secondary and gotten more athletic there. So I think the defense can still take another step forward and perhaps jumps into the top three or maintains that top spot that they had for most of the season in terms of points allowed. and they were the number one defense on third downs, and they tied for the league lead in turnovers. Now, not all those things are sustainable, but I think they've improved enough to where they can move up in other statistical categories. I think for the offense, we're going to see them take a nice jump forward as well, as long as Tua continues to develop on the right track and becomes the quarterback we all think he can be. So, again, just I'll end it with saying kudos to Chris Greer and Brian Flores for this vision, for this roster that they've put together. It's going to be very exciting to see this team perform on the field. And speaking of games on the field, if any of you guys are making the trek to Cincinnati for the third preseason game, I will be there. Odds are I will be at the game in Nashville against Tennessee in week 16. I'm working on trying to convince my wife to let me take a trip down to Miami for a home game at some point. More details on that later. But would love to meet up with as many Dolphins and listeners of the show as I can. So keep those three games in mind. Have a great weekend, and fins up.